Well, hello everyone. Something a little bit different today. I occasionally get requests to talk more about cigars and different types of cigars, how to store them, how to light them, and so on and so forth. And a buddy of mine, Mark, after I made the Hulk Hogan video when Hulk Hogan passed away, said that he really likes it when I talk about blokey things with passion. You know, some of my interests outside of politics. So today, I'm going to do a number of things. I'm going to talk about some underrated Cuban cigars, so ones that fly under the radar a little bit for the connoisseurs there. I'm also going to talk about storage solutions and aging and what I have found best. And I'm going to talk about a few other things like lighters, cutters, and things like that. So my lighter is this paleo lighter here with the butane fluid in it. Okay, that's the lighter that I like to use. I've got a number of other ones, but this one, in my opinion, is the best. It's just a straight up jet lighter like that, and does the job. So this is my trusted one that I take everywhere. I do have others as well. Important thing with a lighter, don't use a normal lighter that you'd use, a cigarette lighter, because the taste of it will ruin the cigar. Okay, you either use proper cigar matches, which usually takes two or three, you know, light it slowly like that, or use one of these jet lighters with butane, okay? And that shouldn't leave any kind of bad taste. So that's the first thing, lighting. When you light it, this one is already lit, so I can't really show you, but you just put it, can you imagine there, okay? The tip of it, you put it around the circumference there. You rotate it as you do it. Some people like to, you know, give it some air while they're doing it. And you'll know when it's lit. Because when you take a draw, the whole head of it should light up. As you can see. If you haven't done it properly, only part of it will light. And then when it burns, it will burn on the wonk. Even this one, look, if you have a look, isn't quite burning straight, so maybe even I haven't done this one right. So that's lighting. Second thing is cutting. Now, a lot of people use straight cut. I've got one here. This is a single guillotine. How do you use this? Let's have a look. Do you use hold on. Single guillotine, where you just chop it straight down, okay? I prefer, if I'm going to use a straight cut, to use a double guillotine. I don't know if I've got mine here. I think I've left it at home, but a double one where it's a cutter on both, you know, the handles on both sides. The important thing when you're doing a cut is you only want take off the cap. If you have a look at Cuban cigar, they usually have a triple cap. You can see it right at the top there. There's a cap, okay? Triple cap. And you want to cut it so that only the very end is taken off. If you take off too much, it will start to unravel. The way I was shown to do it, first of all, when you very first start out, is you can put it on the table like that, get the cutter, and then it takes off just the right amount. Once you're experienced enough, you'll know. You can kind of do it by eye, but one of the ways to get it right every time is to put it like that, okay? Another method of cutting is to use the punch. this has got two built-in punches, a kind of fatter one and a thinner one. For most cigars, that smaller one will be all right. If you want some, if you're smoking like some Presidente or something, you might want that. And you very simply just take the cigar and you punch a hole like that, and it'll just take a little bit out and, you know, Bob's your uncle. For me, I often find a punch gives too tight a draw. Some people swear by it, but that's the punch. What I favour these days is a V-cut. You can see the V-cutter there. I have this this V-cutter, a Calibri V-cutter, and this is very simple. One of the things I like about the V-cutter, you can never get it wrong, right? You can never get it wrong. You get a cigar, right? You put it there, and it gets, and it just gives you that cut every single time. What I like about this one is it's deep. Some V-cutters are quite shallow. This one's deep, so it will always give you perfect V-cut. Some people like to do a double V-cut, where they cut it that way as well. I don't really see the point of that. This gives a good enough draw, because you don't want the draw to be super loose, right? You want it to be have a little bit of resistance there, but not so much resistance that you're literally sucking and sucking on it, okay? So that's the cutter. What else? Let's talk about storage, okay? And then at the end, I'm going to give you 10 underrated Cuban cigars that fly under the radar, typically, okay? So first thing you need, right, when you are thinking about aging and storing cigars. Now, if you're anything like me, first thing you'll do is pick up a desktop humidor, right, made of, you know, Spanish wood, cedar, whatever. And, you know, that will look quite nice, quite fancy on your desk or a display case or something. Truth is, when you get into seriously collecting cigars and aging them and so on, they're not going to do the job. They just, even if you seal them well, they just give up too much moisture, right? That wood is absorbing moisture all the time. They're not good enough. And I have found, actually, the best solution. Now, some people buy these big electric ones that are temperature controlled and things like that. I have found the Tupador the best solution when it comes to these things, okay? I use Tupador and those Beveda packs. Let me just show you one as an example. These 65 Beveda packs right here always do the job, okay? They always do the job. And the great thing about these getting a Tupador is that they never run out. Now, if you have them in a humidor every 3 months or so, you have to change them. But in my experience so far, they just last forever. And I've asked the kind of guys on the connoisseurs forums that I frequent about this, and they're like, yeah, basically, because it's a sealed environment, there's no excess moisture there. So all the moisture is just coming from, they're just getting the, it just gets the humidity level correct. For Cubans, for aging, you want 65, okay? A lot of the time when you'll buy a cigar, it'll come with a 69, the Vita pack. I've tried other things. I've tried the solutions. I've tried the crystals. Honestly, those packs, they work the best. Now, there's also a trick that almost everybody that I know does. You can tell I've actually done it to this one that I showed you. Is that when they run out, and like I said, in those Tupperdores, they never run out. But if you've got a humidor and they get stiff and they get hard and they run out, you can actually just re-moisturize them. How do you do that? Now, the guys from Beveda say never do that, but of course, it's their job to sell these. You basically, get the pack that it came in, or any kind of Ziploc bag, you know, those ones that you can seal, like any bag that you can seal, like a freeze bag, you get a piece of kitchen towel, deionized water, and it's important that it's deionized, the sort that you might put in a kettle, not a kettle, into a iron, for example, deionized water. You can actually get kind of special, you know, water for cigar humidors, but that's all it is. It's deionized water. You put the kitchen towel, wrap it up a bit, put the kitchen towel in a bowl with that water so it absorbs it. Then stick that into one of those Ziplocs with this pack for 2 or 3 days and it will just come back as new. Right, and you can tell I've done it with this one because look, it's got a little bit of a stain on there where I've done it. But look, it's right as new. Never fails. So that is storage. Another thing that you need for storage is these little gauges that you can get. I forget what they're called now. Hydrometer. This one's got the temperature on it as well, in Fahrenheit. The reason that you put them in Fahrenheit is because ideally it should be, you know, 65-65 or 69-69, they say, okay? But, yeah, this one's got the temperature as well, if you have a look in the top. So it's currently 72 here. But if you stick them away in a dark cupboard, temperature honestly doesn't matter, okay? And basically, so you're looking at the big number, that's just to show that it's right. And you can see this has come from this one, which has got 65s, and you know, it's showing around about that. So that shows it's on the right. That basically shows you that everything's going as it should. And what I do is I get 2 or 3, because they're only cheap. You can get tons of them just on Amazon. Find those ones that I got. You can just get tons of them. You know, pick up like 10 of them or something, and you'll have enough. And the other thing that is important is, if you see, this is water sealed. Okay, you have to get it so that you could store food in there. And they come in all sorts of shapes and sizes. So here's another one that I've got. And you can see that I've got in this one boxes. You just leave them in the box. Okay. I've also put trays of cigars in there. Those trays came with various humidors I've got. And you can see I've just stuck in a ton of those Bevita packs because I've got absolutely loads of them. And this is how I'm storing cigars. This box, incidentally, is my go-to box. I stick things in there that I'm going to smoke for actual aging. I've got, and you can look, they come in all sorts of shapes and sizes. This one has just got a single 25 cab, Juan Lopez ones. And it's, look, these were bottles from when AAA was a baby. We were storing bottles in there. They had to keep them sterilized and so on. I've just half-inched that for my own clandestine purposes because it makes a little Tupperdore. And that's only got a single Bevita pack in there because each one of those ones does 25 cigars, okay? But for my big collection here, I'll show you. I have this has got tons of, so I've got absolutely tons in there. Got about 15 of those Bevita packs there, you can see, perfectly stored at 65. That is the main aging that I've got, and that so far has worked. Now, they do say every couple of months you should open it up, let the air circulate around. But you can just leave them there. As time and circumstances dictate. And after a while, you'll learn that some cigars are better when they're left 18 months, 2 years, 3 years. Some people swear by 5 years, things like that. I haven't really had cigars long enough to get up to the this one's only good after 10 years or so on. But it is absolutely true that you can start to tell a difference in certain cigars after a certain amount of time. For example, the other day, I just happened to be smoking a Corona Major, a Chupman, one of these, on that video when I was talking to Stelios. And I said, ooh, there's a caramel note in there. I haven't experienced that before from these. Well, these sticks are from 2023. I think I got them in the spring. It is now summer of 2025, so they've had about 2 years on them. And it's like, oh, after 2 years, these are starting to show something that they didn't have a year ago or certainly didn't have right out of the box. And most cigars really come into their own after about 2 years. Cuban cigars, that is. Non-Cubans are a little bit different because they age them on their end. So most non-Cubans you get are already aged. What else have we got? Okay, so that is storage. Any questions about that, I'll be happy to answer. I've done the cutter. I've done the lighting. I've got my ashtray. My parents actually went to Cuba, to Havana, and they got this. Mrs. thinks it's incredibly tacky. That's why it's here at the lodge. All the tacky things are banished here, but AAA likes to play with this thing. But I find this is my favourite. I've got a few different ashtrays. This is my favourite one. Just does the job. Big wooden thing. Does the job. Okay, I'm going to talk now about some underrated ones. When you get into Cuban cigars, everybody tells you, well, start with the Hoyo de Monterrey. Epicure, the Epicure number 2, right? The Epi 2. Or they might tell you, try an H. Upman Connoisseur 1, something like that. All brilliant cigars. Partagas D4, best-selling cigar in the world. Somebody will probably give you one of those at some point if you get into cigars. You know, Monte Cristo number 4, Monte Cristo number 2. These are all the big-name cigars I'm naming here, okay? Upman Churchill is a, you know, special occasion type cigar. These are well-known kind of household name type cigars. I'm trying to remember what it was that what's his name, Michael Jordan, was it? Wasn't he a big cigar smoker? But anyway, it doesn't matter because I'm going to talk about some undersung heroes, some ones that people, you know, are less commonly talked about. What I'm smoking here is actually one of them. I'm going to go through 10. This is no particular order. The one I'm actually smoking is a little Perla. It's a Rafael Gonzalez Perla. A shorter smoke. I say shorter, it'll still last about 40 minutes, I would say. 40, 50 minutes, something like that. I get kind of chocolate sponge from a Rafael Gonzalez. Kind of chocolate sponge cake, something like that. Perfectly serviceable smoke, I would say. So that's one I like to go to. In a similar kind of size, little bit bigger, is the Rafael Gonzalez Small Club Corona. The Small Club Corona. Now, the more famous Rafael, the more famous Ramon Alonez is the specially selected, the RAS, which is a fantastic cigar. It's got a kind of deep fruit, berry type flavour. You know, this also brings that in spades. Even though it's a small cigar, it's a powerhouse. So the Ramon Alonez Small Club Corona, super underrated cigar. You know, I also talk about the Upman Half Corona as a great cigar as well. That's not underrated, though. This one is, okay? Another really less talked about cigar is the Juan Lopez Seleccione Number 1. A little bit rustic, this one. You can see it's got a bit of damage on it, but Juan Lopez is all about rustic. Much more famous is the Seleccione Number 2, the JL2. Honestly, these ones have blown me away recently. There's a lot of complexity in there that you don't get off a JL2. I've really been pleasantly surprised. Kind of sweet spices and all sorts of things going on. I mean, the JL2 I associate with Jaffa Cake, right? This has got some of that citrus thing going on that Juan Lopez is famous for, but there's more going on in this. And again, I had one of these after about a year, and it tasted like potpourri. Now it's got 2 years on it. I'm telling you, the JL1, brilliant cigar. Another super underrated cigar. I've been burning through these recently because, for some reason, I'll tell you why. It's because the box is at the top. Remember that one I said is my go-to? The box is on the top of it. So often I open that up and I'm like, ooh, I'll just have another one of these. This is a Monte Cristo Number 3. Overshadowed by the 2, overshadowed by the 4. The Monte Cristo Number 3, which is a Corona, classic straight Corona, dying breed. Like I said, a more elegant cigar from a more civilized age. Monte Cristo Number 3, classic chocolate and coffee notes, the Monte Cristo profile. But this, honestly, it's a chocolate bomb. And I don't know why more people don't smoke the 3 as opposed to the 4. I think it's probably an expense thing. People think, oh, well, if it's between the price of the 4 and the price of the 3, what am I getting in the 3? You know, it's like an extra couple of inches or whatever. But honestly, superb smoke. And it lasts a long time, too. That's another reason why, like, often on a Wednesday, when I'm doing the stream with Simon Roberts and Horace, I need a longer cigar to get through the Adam Curtis, and very often I'm finding myself grabbing a Monte Cristo 3 these days. Okay? Super brilliant cigar. I don't know why more people don't buy them. Next one. This is a Homosto Number 4. It's a St. Louis Rey Regios. And these have got a bit of chocolate in there, but to me this has got the fruit thing that the RAS has got. You know, a bit of that kind of berries or something like that in there. It's good. It's a good change of pace. You know, I don't find myself going for these that often. Partly, again, because of the boxes in my big aging box here. But whenever I pick one out, I've been pleasantly surprised by the Regios. Okay? Just good change of pace. Good change of pace when you feel like it. Another one I really like, similar sort of bracket to that last one, is the Vegas Orobana Famoso. This here, the Famoso, or Famosos. This is plush. It is luxurious. It is just billows of smoke come out of this thing. And I don't know. I get a lot, all sorts of different flavours in there as well. But more than anything else, it's the mouthfeel on this. It's the kind of big, creamy smoke that you get from one of these. I think I'm going to need to relight. What else have we got going on? I've got a few others. I said I've got 10. More famous is the Punch Punch. More famous is the Punch Punch. I think the Punch Punch may be Arnold Schwarzenegger's favorite cigar. I'm sure I read that somewhere. But Punch 48, which is from one of the, you know, it's got that like exclusive band, so it's from the Cuban only dealers. But the Punch 48 is a peanut, lashings of peanut. Peanut bomb, the Punch 48. It's a big old cigar. One of the biggest cigars I've got here, actually. I'm trying to remember. I think it's a Hermosa number 3. Something like that. It's a bigger than usual cigar. They call it it's like a giant Robusto, this thing. What do they call it? Toro or something like that. But good old smoke, that. I don't go to them very often. Because they're, can I say, a Punch can be quite woody, quite dry sometimes. But if you fancy peanut, Punch 48. Okay. Another one of my favourites, especially if it's the morning, right? When you have a cigar, often, you know, you want lighter cigars in the morning. And you want kind of more like a Bolivar or something like that after dinner in the night time. It would be my classic rule. If you have a Bolivar first thing in the morning, you'll probably be sick, right? You need food behind you, right, to not get a headache and things like that. But in the morning, I always recommend the Fonseca. I think it's Candores. Their more famous cigar, I say famous, kind of among people who have any knowledge of cigars at all, is the Fonseca number 1, which is a much longer thing. The Fonseca number 1 is so long, it's the one where if I'm on a stream and I'm having a Fonseca number 1, I start doing my penguin impression, you know. But this is the smaller cousin of that, and I really like it. It's mellow, it's got kind of just mild toasted tobacco, tea even, something like that. Marshmallow. I know these sounds like weird flavours. Forest floor, even. Bit of mushroom. This is the sort of profile of a Fonseca. The Fonseca 1, I find, goes more mushroomy. This is on the kind of more marshmallow end of it. Kind of just sweet toasted tobacco, slightly sweet. Really pleasant. Remember, I had one of these with my brother one morning when he came here, and we were both just in heaven, and he immediately went and got himself a box of these. So then there's the Corona Major, which I derisively called an airport cigar when I was doing that Stelios video the other day. But honestly, that one I had was one of the best cigars I've had all month. Which is not what you expect from a cigar like this, the Corona Major. So this is a, you know, borderline cheap and cheerful cigar, really. But when they're on, they're very on. Now, I won't lie, I've had a number of these that have been bland, nothing going on. But that one I had the other day made this a last-minute inclusion for this video. And finally, now, I've mentioned this before. This is the Partagas Aristocrat. The Aristocrat. Now, this is a cheap and cheerful. This is like in the cheapo Partagas range, okay? But they never fail. Crunchy nut cornflakes, I'm telling you. Honey, crunchy nut cornflakes in a cigar. The Aristocrat. And very often, if I can't think of what else to have, I find myself reaching for one of the... I don't want to waste prime stock. And I just want something. It's a great one to pick up because it never fails. It's like I don't know, the McDonald's cheeseburger or something. This thing, amazing. You get in a bit of that Partagas profile, a little bit, but it's sweeter than a normal Partagas. It's more, like I said, crunchy nut cornflakes. Brilliant cigar. So there's 10 underrated cigars plus some other tips. Maybe in another few months I'll talk about cigars again. Every once in a while I like to do these. And pick up a course at the Academic Agency. Buy it now. Trivium, Foundations of Shakespeare. Many other great courses available. And I'll catch you next time.
If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the Academic Agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just 3 of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.